Well, good morning and welcome. Glad to see you all here this morning. It's good to be back. Last week, all of the staff went, Laura and I took all of the staff and their spouses on a little retreat, and we spent a couple days down in Branson just kind of connecting with each other, and we spent some time praying, and it was just a good time. We left Pastor Jack behind, and he did a good job. He held down the fort, so thank you for that. But you can clap. That's good. Well, it's Thanksgiving week. Y'all excited to eat more food than is humanly possible? And we're just going to, this week, it begins tonight with our all-church Thanksgiving dinner. We're looking forward to that, and then we'll go throughout the week. But in honor of Thanksgiving week, I read a couple stories this past week, and the first one was about this lady who was getting ready for Thanksgiving, and so she went to the grocery store, and she was picking through the frozen turkeys there, but she couldn't quite find one big enough to feed her family. And so this stock boy happened to wander by, and she grabbed him, and she said, "Hey, do you know if any of these turkeys get any bigger?" And the stock boy looked at her kind of funny and said, "No, ma'am, they're all dead." So, yeah. I need the drums, don't I? All right. One more. All right. There was a fourth grade class who had been given an assignment to report on the origin of Thanksgiving. And so this one little girl, knowing that, you know, there's some sensitivity between God and school and that kind of a thing. And so she got up and she said, "Well, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. And because of them, we can worship each Sunday at you know where." And so y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So, well, I want to talk to you this morning in light of Thanksgiving week about being thankful. Not just for a holiday, but actually living every single day of our life with an attitude of gratitude. In fact, as Christians, I'm just convinced that we ought to live our lives in such a way every day that every moment of our life is kind of like a thank you gift to God. That's how we ought to live our lives. In fact, someone once said, and you probably have heard this before, but somebody once said that your life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift back to God. God's gift to you is your life. And what you do, that's your gift back to God. Whatever you do with this life that he has given to you, he's only given you one, and what you do with it is your gift back to him. And so I just want to suggest this morning that if each and every one of us would adopt kind of this attitude of gratitude or an attitude of thanksgiving, not just for a holiday, but if we would just adopt it as a lifestyle, it will not only be one of the greatest gifts that you could give to God, but here's the deal, it also could be one of the greatest gifts that you could give to yourself. It's actually been proven. Studies have been done, and it has been proven that gratitude is one of the healthiest emotions that a human being can experience. Studies have shown that when a person is genuinely thankful, it actually increases their own personal happiness. In fact, if you think about it, the most happy people that you know, probably they're also the most thankful people that you know. There's a direct correlation there. It's not by accident that our personal level of happiness is related directly to how thankful we are. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to give you three reasons. If you're a note taker this morning, this is your morning, all right? I'm going to give you three reasons from the Bible that we ought to be thankful every day of our lives and make our lives as like a thank you gift back to God. And then along with that, I'm going to give you six ways that you can show your gratitude or thankfulness to God. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And we're just going to jump right in. Here's the first reason that each and every one of us should live our lives as a thank you gift to God. The first one is this: it's simply because of who God is. That's a good enough reason right there. Because of who God is. Now, think about this. If God were mean, if God were uncaring, if he was indifferent or selfish, then we would have no reason to be grateful, right? I mean, if God was unreliable, if he couldn't be trusted, If he was cruel, if he was vicious, if God was hateful, then we would have no reason to be thankful or be grateful to God. If God was weak, if he was powerless, if he couldn't do anything about the problems that we face in this life, then we would have no reason to give gratitude. But the reality is, none of those things is true about God. In fact, the Bible says that God is the exact opposite of all of those things. And I want to show you a couple of verses that demonstrate and show us who God is. The first one is Psalm 45:3, and it says this. It says, the Lord is what? Great. The Lord is great. He's not puny. He's not weak. He's not powerless. The Lord is great, and he's worthy of our praise, and no one can understand. We can't even comprehend how great that he is. Now, why would God's greatness be worthy of our gratitude? Well, because if God is great enough, if he's big enough, if he's powerful enough to create the entire universe, if he is all-powerful, if he is greater than even our understanding, then guess what? That means he is great enough to handle any problem that you'll ever face in your life. That's good news. That's worth being thankful for. In fact, there will never be a problem that you ever bring before God where he's like, oh man, I didn't account for that. I don't know what I'm going to do about this one. No. Because God is greater than any problem you'll ever face in your life. Look at Psalm 97, verse 12. The psalmist says this. He says, give thanks to God as you remember how holy he is. God is holy. What does that mean? It means that God is perfect. That it means that he is pure. It means that there's nobody else like him. It means that he is faultless. It means that he's never, ever done anything wrong, not even on accident. He's never made a mistake. He is perfect in all of his ways. That's something that we can thank God for. And then in Psalm 107, it says this. It says, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Listen, here's the reality. And some of you need to hear this, that there is no one who will ever love you the way that God does. There's no man that will ever love you, ladies, the way that God does. There's no woman, guys, that will ever love you the way that God does. In fact, the only reason that love even exists in the universe is because God is love. That's who he is. If God were not a loving God, then we wouldn't even know what love is. We couldn't even experience love. There would be no love to experience. The only reason that we can even give and receive love is because we are made in the image of God, and God is love. Psalm 7:17 says, I will thank the Lord because he is just. He's just. This is another reason that we can be grateful, because God is just. In other words, God is always fair. God is never prejudiced. God always does what is right. We ought to thank God for that. We can trust that God is always going to do what is right and what is fair. He's just. Psalm 54, verse 6 says, I will give thanks because you, God, are good. Listen, everything that you experience in this life is because God is a good God. Every good thing that you experience. All the good, if God were not good, there would be no good in the universe. All good things, good times, good taste, good food, good looks. It all comes from a God who is good. Psalm 118:1 says, tell the Lord how thankful you are because he is kind and he's always merciful. I love that. God is always merciful. I actually looked up the original meaning of that word always, and what it actually means is always, all the time. That there's never a time when God is not good or merciful. He's always merciful. In fact, I love this. One of my favorite scriptures talks about how that his mercies are in fact new every morning. Never runs out of mercy. And so that's who God is. And we could go on and on and on, but for the sake of time, we won't. But if that's who God is, then how should we show thanks to a God who is like that, who is great and holy and loving and good and kind and merciful? Well, the Bible tells us that there are a couple of different ways that we can do that. You might want to write these down. The first way that we can give thanks to a God who has all of those things is by singing from our heart. We just gave you an opportunity to do that, to sing. Now, notice I didn't just say singing. Singing from our heart is one of the ways that we show gratitude to God. In other words, tone matters. Now, if you sing off tone, I'm not talking about that. But the tone of how we, let me explain it like this. Like, if after the service, anybody, if you came up to me and you gave me a gift, Christmas is around the corner, believe it or not, we're going to be into Advent next year. And so if you came up and gave me a gift, and anybody, feel free to do that if you want to do that. But if you gave me a gift and my response to you was, wow, thank you. I'm so happy for the gift that you've given to me. It's great. How would that make you feel? Not good. As opposed to, wow, thank you. That is so kind of you. Thank you for this gift that you gave to me. It's like one of the greatest gifts. It's awesome. Thank you. The reality is we can say the same words, but tone matters. The attitude of our heart matters. Now here's the deal. We're going to get really personal now. I wonder how many times when we gather here and we sing songs of thanksgiving, I wonder how often the way that we sing and the way that we do it is more like the first thank you that I gave than the second thank you, genuinely from the heart. I wonder what God thinks of our worship when we're like, you know, we're singing like, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. How, I wonder what God thinks of that. I wonder how that makes him feel. Probably the same way that we would feel. If you were giving a gift to me and I responded like that, or I were giving a gift to you, whenever we gather together to sing, we're not just singing, you know, a few popular songs because we think they're cool. No, what we're doing is we're giving you an opportunity to worship and give thanks and to sing from your heart, to give gratitude to God, to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. In fact, Psalm 147, verse 7 says this, sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing your praises to the Lord, to our God. Now I know some of you, when you sing, you know, it's just kind of like this. You think I didn't know because my back is to you. I know. Brian tells me. And I know some of you are like, well, I don't sing because I don't have a good voice. Listen, I got good news for you. You don't have to have a good voice. The Bible doesn't say, sing if you have a good voice. What it says is, make a joyful noise. Just be joyful. Be joyful. And some of you, rather than giving joy, you stand there and you look like, you know, you've been sucking on a lemon all morning. No joy. Like your best friend just died. And you say, well, you know, I'm not, just by nature, I'm not really that expressive of a person. I'm more of a reserved kind of a person. Okay. So let me ask all of you reserved people. When you're in a stadium full of people and your team scores a touchdown, are you reserved then? Everybody's, yes! And you're like, when we come to church and when we have an opportunity to give thanks, what we're doing is we're saying, touchdown for Jesus. We're like, yay, God. for what you've done. Or some of you are like, well, I think all those football people are crazy. So you're at a concert, your favorite band. Or you're at your kid's soccer game or volleyball match, and they do something good, or, you know, and everybody's like, wow, way to go. And are you like, no. We are wired in such a way that whenever we experience something good, there's something that just flows out of it and expresses it. And let me just suggest this, that if there is anything that you cheer for more than who God is, then by definition, that is idolatry. Nothing should get our worship. Nothing should get our praise more than Jesus. And so we give thanks to God by singing to Him. The second way that we give thanks for who God is we give thanks by praying to Him, by talking to Him. We just say, thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord and pray to Him. Okay, so here's what we're going to do right now, because I don't want to just give you a bunch of information and you go and forget it all. I'm going to give you an opportunity to practice some of this. So we're going to take just a moment, what I'm going to do is we're going to have a moment of silence. I'm not going to call on anybody or embarrass anybody or anything like that. But we're going to take, and all of those scriptures that we just showed you about who God is and reasons why we can give thanks, they're just going to kind of scroll through the screen. And as they do, I want to invite you personally to just take a moment as these passages of Scripture kind of scroll through the screen, and in the quietness of your heart, just say, thank you, God, that you're a great God. Thank you, God, that you're a loving God. Thank you, God, that you're merciful. And just say that yourself, just in the quietness of your own heart. It doesn't have to be out loud. And so let's just take a moment and let's do that. Well, Father, this morning we do just pause for a moment and we want to say thank you. We don't do that enough. We have so many reasons to be thankful for who you are. Just even this morning as we were singing through the names that represent the character of Jesus, our hearts ought to swell up with thanksgiving, because that means, or it should mean, something to us. And so, Lord, we give you thanks today. We praise you for who you are. Your word tells us that you inhabit our praise and our thanksgiving. And so, Lord, we're thankful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the very first reason that we give thanks is because of who God is. Reason number two that we ought to give thanks is because of what God has done. Psalm 52:9 says this. It says, I will thank you, God, forever for what you have done. What has God done for you? Well, the truth is, there are millions and millions and millions of reasons that we could come up with to be grateful for, but I want to give you just five that are mentioned in Scripture. The first one, according to Psalm 148, is that God created you. You ever stop and give thanks for, God, thanks for creating me. You made me unique. You made me special. In Psalm 148, 5, it says, let all things praise the name of the Lord because we were created at his command. We ought to stop every once in a while and just say, God, thank you for creating me. Thank you for giving me life. Absolutely, we ought to do that. And then not only did he create you, he's offered salvation to you. Psalm 9:14 says, praise you, and I will praise you and I will rejoice because you saved me. That God not only created you and then he didn't just leave you. He said, no, I created you and I saved you so you could spend eternity with me. Number three, we ought to thank him because he answers our prayers. That's a good reason to thank God. Psalm 118:21, I praise the Lord for answering my prayers. If you're here this morning, if you're joining us online, and you've ever had a prayer answered, that's a good reason to be grateful to God. Just say, God, thank you. And you know what? You can thank him more than once. Whenever it comes to mind, God, I remember 20 years ago when you did this, it just came to mind, and I still want to thank you for what you did. That means a lot to me. We thank God for what he's done. Number four, he gives my life direction. Psalm 116:7, I praise the Lord because he guides me. He offers us guidance and direction. So how does he do that? Well, first of all, through his word. He guides us through his word. He guides us by being here through spiritual teaching. He guides us through our circumstances and our experiences in life. He guides us through the godly relationships that he blesses us with. He guides us through the Holy Spirit who will speak to us. The Holy Spirit will give us an impression or an idea. There are so many ways that God guides us in life, and we ought to be thankful for that. The fifth way is we thank him because he sent his son to die for us. Whoa, that's a good thing. Look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. He says, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. That deserves an amen. Yeah, that's an awesome thing. He forgave our sins. He canceled the charges against us. Can you imagine if somebody like today called you on the phone and said, hey, I want you to know that I've canceled all your charges. I paid all of your debt. Your student loans, your car payment, your credit cards, your mortgage payment. You are debt free. Would you be grateful for that? Absolutely. This is what Jesus has done for us. At the cross, Paul says he canceled the record that contained the charges against us. In other words, he took the bill and nailed it to the cross, and we don't owe it anymore. That's worth saying thank you. We should never forget. And here's what we need to understand is that even though that is a gift to us, it's free, that doesn't mean it didn't cost something greatly. It may be free to us, but it was very expensive. Jesus gave his life in order to cancel your debt. And as a way of reminding us of that fact, the price that Jesus paid for us, he gave us a symbol. It's called the Lord's Supper or communion. The Greek word is Eucharist, Eucharistia, which actually that word means thankful. And so on this Thanksgiving weekend, I think it's fitting that we take a moment right now. We're going to celebrate the Eucharistia together, to be thankful, to give thanksgiving together. In fact, what we're going to do, I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and they're going to distribute the elements to all of you. And while they do that, I'm just going to keep talking. And so we'll have you take one of these and hold on to it, and we'll receive this all together. But if you're here in the building, know that this is gluten-free, if that matters to you. It's all gluten-free. And just so you know, the only requirement for receiving communion is that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've asked him to be the forgiver of your sins. Don't have to be a member of the church. You just got to be a member of God's family. And so that's the only requirement. For those of you who are joining us online, some of you, you may want to participate in this with us, but you haven't prepared. You don't have bread and you don't have juice. And so what you can do is just grab something bread-like, maybe a cracker or a cookie or something like that, and grab something juice-like, a liquid, and you can receive communion with us as well. Now, before we receive the Eucharist, I want you to think about this question. How should you feel every time you receive the Lord's Supper? Think about that. How should you feel? Should you feel guilty because of all of your sins that put Jesus on the cross? Or should you feel guilty? No. I hope that you heard that this morning, that you don't have to feel guilty when you receive the Lord's Supper. And the reason why is because Jesus willingly, he said, nobody takes my life, I lay it down willingly. Jesus willingly went to the cross and he paid for your sin. And the Bible says that once your sins are forgiven, there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. That's not at all why I came. The reason I came was to save the world. And so how should we feel? Should we feel guilty? Should we feel sad? Because, I mean, Jesus died. Should we feel sad because Jesus died? No, we don't have to feel sad. Why? Because Jesus didn't stay dead. He defeated death. Death didn't win. Jesus, 3 days later, rose from the grave, and he defeated death and hell and the grave. And so, if we don't have to feel guilty, and we don't have to feel sad, how should we feel? Yeah, how about grateful? How about feel some gratitude that Jesus did what he did? And so, we're going to receive this morning. I think everybody's got it this morning. We're going to receive this morning. And one of the first things that Jesus did, if you haven't figured it out yet, the bread is on the bottom. I got one with no bread in it. Anybody else get ripped off? Did you get no bread in yours too? Hey, ushers, do we have some more? We got to get a refund from our, if you didn't get any bread, right? No, you're okay, Esther. We've got some ushers coming here. You got two bread? Thank you. Wow. So allegedly, there's bread in the bottom. Hopefully. Hopefully everybody's got it now. So when Jesus took the bread, the first thing that he did was he said a prayer of thanksgiving, that word, Eucharisto. And then he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. And then he said these words, and every time you do, give thanks. Every time you do, give thanks. And so I'm going to invite you this morning to receive the bread, and as you do, give thanks. And then in the same way, he took the cup. And again, he spoke a word of thanksgiving, and he gave it to them. And he said, as you drink this, do it with thanksgiving, remembering my great love, the great sacrifice that I'm about to make for you. And so this morning, I want to invite you to take and drink of the cup, and as you do it in remembrance with thanksgiving for the price that Jesus paid for you. This morning, Father, we want to pause again. We want to thank you for your great love. You gave your one and only Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus, you came and you suffered and you died, and You willingly lay down your life, and as you did so, you weren't simply a martyr for a cause. You were accomplishing something that we desperately needed. You were paying a price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. And so you laid down your life. You shed your blood. You allowed your body to be broken on our behalf as a demonstration of your love for us, but also as a means of providing a pathway to which we could be in relationship with you, which we could have our sins forgiven and we could live for eternity with you. And so this morning, we would just want to stop on this week of Thanksgiving and say thank you. We're grateful for the price that you paid. We thank you this morning in your name. Amen. So God has done so many things for us, and we could go on and on and on. We don't have the time to do that, and we're not going to take the time. But the question is, so how should we give or show our thanks for all that God has done in our lives? Let me give you a couple of ways that the Bible mentions. The first one is this, is that we can give thanks by telling others the good news. That's one of the ways that we can give thanks. So Isaiah 12:4 says, "Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is." I mean, there's just something about us that's wired into us. It's just kind of natural. When something good happens to you, the natural response is you ought to want to share it with somebody else. You ought to want to pass it on. And think about this. Just imagine this. Imagine that I had the cure for cancer. Or imagine that I had the cure for AIDS. And imagine that I knew the key to saving millions and millions and millions and millions of lives. And if I didn't share it with anybody, if I just kept it a secret for myself, what would you all think about me? Not good, not very highly, right? In fact, that would be criminal. It would be considered criminal to have the cure, the solution that could impact people's lives and could save people, to not share it would be criminal. Listen, here's the deal. If you know Jesus, then you have something even better than the cure for AIDS and the cure for cancer. That cure, that solution may only impact somebody's life for a few years, but you have the answer to a person's eternal destiny. You have the solution of how people can be set free and delivered and given purpose and eternal life and meaning in life forever. And the truth is, if you have that good news, and say you work next to a guy for 20 years, and you never tell him, never say a word, the truth is, that is criminal in the eyes of God. That is the ultimate ingratitude to say, you know what, I'm forgiven, I have a purpose for living, I have a home in heaven, but you can go to hell. And that's essentially what we're doing. That this is the ultimate criminal act, to know the cure, the answer for sin, the answer for hopelessness, the answer for addiction, the answer for being caught up and bound up, the answer for having no value, the answer for what is the meaning of life, to have the answer and not share it. Oh, that is the ultimate criminal act. One of the ways that we show our gratitude by God is simply by telling other people the good news about who he is. Now, the good news is this, is we're getting ready to enter into a season of the year, the Christmas season. And the truth is, more people are more ready or more willing or more open to coming to church at Christmas than any other time of the year. And so here's my question for you this morning. Who are you going to invite? Sometime over the next 4 weeks, bring somebody to the Christmas Eve with you. Well, but that's kind of my time for me and my family. I mean, some of you, we spent 60 years doing this with my family. How about we care about somebody else? Invite them into your family. Let them be a part of your family. There are some people who have no family, and they just need to be a part. So Invite somebody to our Christmas Eve service. Don't come to church by yourself. Listen, church is always better with a friend. So bring one. If you don't have one here, bring somebody that is your friend. Share the good news. It's one of the ways we can show our gratitude to God. The second way is we can give thanks by giving an offering back to God. Some of you are like, oh, I knew it. He was going to talk about my money in church again. No, it's true. Think about it. Thanks and giving go together. Thanksgiving. You can't be thankful without giving. The giving is a very tangible way of expressing thanks back to God for all he's done to us or for us. Look at Psalm 50, verse 14. It says, give an offering to show your thanks to God. Give him what you promised. And so if God has done anything for you at all, the proper response is to give an offering back to him, a thanksgiving offering. Thanks and giving just go together. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the pilgrims ripped off the idea of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving did not originate with the pilgrims. They copied it. God actually invented thanksgiving. In fact, he commanded it to his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, listen to what it says. It says, celebrate the harvest festival. When's the harvest festival? It's in the fall when we harvest what we planted. Celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a freewill offering. It's not going to be coerced. Nobody's going to twist your arm to do it. You're going to do it because you want to. But bring a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings that God has given to you. And so, the question is, has God blessed you this year? If he's blessed your life, then you ought to, if he's blessed your life a lot, that's the truth. If he's blessed your life a lot, you ought to give a lot. If he's blessed your life a little, then just give a little. If he hadn't blessed your life at all, then you're a liar. Don't give anything. It says we are to give in proportion to the way that God has blessed our life. See, the level of my giving demonstrates the level of my gratitude. The truth is, if I say, I love God. I just love God so much. I love him so much. But I never give him anything. Then the truth is, I don't really love him all that much. You see, it's kind of like I can say to Laura, I love Laura. I love you. I love you. I love you. But if I'm never willing to give anything to her, I really don't love her that much. The level of our giving reflects the level of our gratitude and our love. In fact, you can give, this is true, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. It just doesn't work. It's a response of love. Okay, the final reason that we should give thanks is not just because of who God is, not just because of what God has done, but we should give thanks because what God has promised, what God is yet to do. Here's some really good news. No matter how good God has been to you in your life, he ain't done yet. That's good news. God wants to do more. In fact, the Bible says that he's the God of immeasurably more. Always more. He's a good God who has good plans for your future. Now, how do you know what God has in store for your life? How do you know if God has these promises? If I'm going to give thanks for the promises, how do I know that God has good things in store for my life? Right here. In fact, I don't know how many of you knew this, but inside this book, there are over 7,000 promises that God has made for you. 7,000 promises to you. We're going to go through all of them right now. I'm just kidding. Let me give you a few examples. Here's the first one. This is a promise directly from Jesus. He says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live again. Here a few weeks ago, we just had the funeral service for Marge Stansberry. And I say this, I think, after every time we have a service for a saint like that. It's like, funeral services for people who know Jesus are so much different than funeral services for people who don't know Jesus. There's a measure and a level of sadness because we sense a loss. But there's so much hope. There's so much joy. There's so much like, oh man, she did it. She finally accomplished everything that she lived her entire life for. She did it. She's got what I want. And so there's this level of hopefulness because we know we have a promise that even though we may die, this ain't the end. That there's more. There's eternity that's way better than this. And in this place of eternity, there ain't no crying. There ain't no sadness. There ain't no taxes. There ain't no cold weather. If you like cold weather, maybe there ain't no hot weather. It's like San Diego, 78 degrees year round. We have this hope. Here's another great promise. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And here's the promise. And he will give you everything that you need. Boy, that's a great promise. In other words, if your focus is on his kingdom, on living for him and making the kingdom of God your priority and your concern, what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is simply God's plan in this world. And it's God's plan for your life. And so, in other words, if you say, God, what I want more than anything else is I want your plan for me. I want your plan in the world. I want your plan in my life. And I want it more than I want anything else. I want to be what you made me to be. And I want to do what you created me to do. He said, if you'll do that, then the promise is, I'll take care of your needs. What a great promise that we can be grateful for. Let me give you one more promise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. Amen. Where's our hope? What an awesome promise from God. I'll never fail you. I'll never abandon you. Listen, some of you understand all too well what it feels like to be abandoned. Some of you have been abandoned by your parents. Dad and mom got a divorce and one of them took off and rarely saw you. So some of you have been abandoned by a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife or a friend or a business partner. And for that, I'm sorry. I know it hurts to be abandoned. This is why this promise is so awesome. Because the God of the universe says, I am somebody that you can count on. I will never, ever, ever, ever abandon you. This is a promise that we ought to be thankful for. Hey, have you ever just paused and thank God for that? Say, God, thank you that no matter what I'm going through in this life, that you are with me. I know that you are with me. You're never going to leave me. You're never going to abandon me. You're never going to force me to face things on my own. You are always going to be with me. We got to thank God for that. I could go on and on. There are 7,000 in here. I encourage you, mine the Bible for them. Seek them. Write them down. But real quick, let me give you two more ways that you can give thanks, and then we're going to close. The first way we can give thanks is by serving God. Simply by serving God. One of the tangible ways we show our gratitude by God is, or to God, is by serving him. And so how do we serve God? You know, we can't see him. We can't touch him. It's not like he's right here, physically speaking, that we can serve him in a tangible way. Well, the Bible says the best way that we can serve God is simply by serving other people. In fact, look at what Jesus says in Matthew 25. Jesus is talking about the final judgment here, and he says these words. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. And I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then these righteous ones were replied, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And Jesus says, the king will say, I tell you the truth, that when you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, then you were doing it to me. I was thinking about that. I couldn't help but think about what's going to take place right here this Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know how many of you had an opportunity to meet Aaron and Melissa Detterman. If you haven't, you need to, because they're awesome. But last week, Melissa sent me a text and said, hey, you know, for the past few years, we've hosted what we just kind of call a Misfits Thanksgiving Dinner. And it's just for anybody who doesn't have a place to go and people who don't have a home or a family or are struggling with addiction and just don't have anybody. And she said, this year we've had so many people respond that we don't have enough room at our house. And so I was wondering if you would be open to having us do it at the church. To which I said, no. No, I said, absolutely. Absolutely. And so this Thursday at 2 p.m., I think the last I heard, there's somewhere around 20, 25 people all together who are going to be there. But every person who will go through the line on Thursday and gets a slice of turkey and some stuffing and some gravy, and every person who doesn't get overlooked or ignored but instead gets listened to and valued, each time that happens, for every single person, it's going to be the exact same thing as if we were hosting Jesus. Serving Jesus. Caring for Jesus. And what I love about this is that, you know, this isn't something that the church staff thought up. It's not something that we organized and planned out. This is just a couple of people who are so grateful for how God has saved and delivered them, and they just want other people to experience what they have. And so this is just one of the ways that they can do that. And by the way, if you don't have a place to go, I'm sure there's plenty. See Melissa, she'd love to have you. Or if you'd like to help, see Melissa. I know that she would welcome you in that too. And I know, you know, not everyone can do this, and we don't want everyone to do this, because if we all do this, then there's all the other stuff that doesn't get done. And so that's okay, but here's my question. Is there anything in your life personally that you are doing in unselfish service for other people, just simply out of gratitude for all that God has done for you? Is there anything that you're giving yourself away for? Just serving God by loving other people, serving other people. Or is your life so self-centered that you don't have time for anybody else? Listen, you need to understand this. God did not put you on this earth to live just for you. He put you on this earth to learn how to live unselfishly. And so, is there any time in your week, is there any time in your month that you are unselfishly serving somebody else in Jesus' name? If not, I'm just going to say this as plainly as I can. If not, you got a problem. And it's a gratitude problem. You're not grateful to God for what he's done, for giving you your life, for giving you salvation, for giving you provision, for giving you health, for giving you people who love you, and all of those other things. But I highly recommend that if you don't have a place to serve, if you're not giving yourself away in some way, find a place to serve. And just do something totally unselfish, something that you don't get paid for, Something that you don't get recognized for. You just do it simply because you're grateful to God for all that he's done for you. One last way that you can show gratitude, and that is we give thanks to God. We show our gratitude to God simply by living each day as a thank you gift to him. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, we ought to live our lives as a thank you note to God. God, you created me, you saved me, you blessed me, and so I want to live in such a way that everything I do is an expression of gratitude to you. Last one, I'm going to invite Brian to come and help us as we close, but last one, and I want to encourage you to make this your prayer for this week, is in Colossians chapter 2, it says, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. Could we just make that our prayer this week? God, for each of us, would you help us to remember who you are? God, would you help us to remember that you're kind and you're merciful and you're powerful and you're holy, that you're full of love and you're full of grace? Would you help us to remember that you've done so many things, that many of them that I'm not even aware of? You rescued me from situations that I didn't even know existed, and you've done so many things for me. You created me, you saved me, you provided for me, you've given my life meaning and purpose, and I know that every good thing I experience in life, it comes directly from you because you're a good God. Would you help me, would you help us to remember that you're not only doing good in my life, but you want me to take the good that you've given to me and you want me to share it with other people. Help us to remember that no matter what we're going through right now, in this moment, that even though it may be too big for us, that we may be facing a problem that we don't have an answer to, that you are all powerful. And there's nothing that we could face in this world that's too big for you. And if you're for us, then what in the world could ever be against us? Help us to remember that out of all the good things that you've done, you're not done yet. You're still at work, and your promises are yes and amen. And as we remember this week for all of the things that you've done, as we remember not only who you are, what you've done, what you've yet to do, I pray that you would help us to live our lives in such a way that it just overflows with thanksgiving, overflows with joy, to the point that the people we come in contact with, even this week, even this afternoon when we leave this place, the people we come in contact with, they would recognize, man, there's something, they're just so thankful, so joyful. There's something so attractive about that. Let our lives overflow with gratitude to the point that Thanksgiving is more than a holiday that we celebrate once a year, but instead it's a lifestyle that we live out every single day of our lives. Help us to have attitudes of gratitude 24/7. And we pray this in the name of the one that we're grateful to today, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.